on the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, which the Bible calls the millennium. Millennium means 1,000 years. And I just want to, you can turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 65, and Janelle, I'm going to do two, one in Isaiah 65, 18, and the other one, Janelle, a little bit later, we'll get into the outline, will be from Luke 19. But last time I talked to you about a lot of things that are happening in our nation and around the world. I talked to you about this QAnon phenomenon that a lot of Americans believe in. And I never said whether it was true or false, because I got some nasty comments from some people. But how many know when you preach the truth, you're going to offend some people? But I never called anyone satanic or full of the devil, as I was accused of. I often say, you can quote me on anything you want. Just quote me properly. And so I had a gentleman this week come into my church, and Maria Capuano was here, and he talked my ear off for an hour why I need to tell you that Trump's going to be put back in this August. And I said, I don't know whether Trump's, you know, if God shows me that, you know, I'll share it. But I don't know. What I do know is that from a biblical point of view, I put my trust in the Word of God, and sometimes man is right, sometimes man is wrong. And so, again, I just said QAnon has made some predictions, and they've been wrong so far. That's all I said. Maybe they'll get one right, you know. But they were wrong that President Trump didn't get back in. They were wrong that on Inauguration Day, Trump wasn't back in. They were wrong that President Trump didn't set up martial law. They were wrong that there have not been mass arrests of Democrats. And they were wrong that they didn't stop President Biden from taking office. So I just said that, and some people got mad. And I'm saying, be careful when the views of the world get in the church. And how do you know? Well, you start telling off your pastor and saying he's unfit to be a pastor. There's no love. But I don't need love, it's nice, to preach the truth. And the Bible says you're to speak the truth in love. And so that's what I'm going to continue today, because I want you to know the absolute truth is there may come some change in our democratic system. One of the downfalls is every time you get a Republican in, he undoes what a Democrat does, and then you get a Democrat for 8 years, and he undoes what a Republican, and it just goes back and forth and back and forth. And so there's no permanent change. Thank God for the presidents. We need to pray for the presidents, pray for the peace. But it's when Jesus Christ comes back, that's when permanent change was going to happen. All right, permanent. And I'm still praying for some changes now in our nation. It probably scares you like it scares me. But I want to talk about what's going to happen when Jesus comes back for 1,000 years. And what? Let's just go to Isaiah. And the title is The Church. What will happen to the church in the millennium? Where will we who believe in Jesus Christ be? What are we going to be doing during the 1,000-year reign? Because we're not Israel. We're not the Jews. We are separate from the Jews, and we're the church. And so this is what we're going to look at, Isaiah 65, verse 18. And this is what's going to go on when Jesus comes back and sets up his monarchy. He's going to set up a monarchy. So let me read it to you. We'll go from 18 to 25. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. This is the millennium. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. Is there joy and rejoicing in Jerusalem today? No. They're firing rockets into it every day. They're really not, but it's coming. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her. There's a lot of crying and people are killed over there with the Muslims and the Jews. Nor will there be a voice of crying, not for the 1,000 years. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. No more premature, you know, miscarriages. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For a child, this is during the 1,000 years, shall die 100 years old. But the sinner shall be 100 years old, shall be accursed. So it'll be like a child is like 100 years old. They're going to live 5, 6, 7, 800 years in the millennium. This is what we're looking at. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They're not going to give away land to Syria, to the Golan Heights. All right? They're not going to give them away. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the day of a tree, so shall the days of my people. And there's a tree over in Israel today that is over 2,000 years old. It was around during Christ. This is what's going to happen. You see, we have sin in our bodies now, and sin causes us to die. But when Christ comes back, he's going to change things. And my elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. Go to verse 25. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. The Lord Jesus will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And then lastly, this is what's going to happen when Jesus comes back and sets up a monarchy. The wolf and the lamb shall what? The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the dust shall be the serpent's food. You women will like that. I don't have to worry about snakes anymore. They will eat dust. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen. That, it's going to be wonderful. And I need to tell you, this is our future. Sometimes we look at what's going on in our world and TV and politics and sports and everything else. We go, oh my gosh, is there any hope? Yes, there is hope. A living hope. A living hope. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you are coming back. Help us to be ready when Jesus comes back. Help us, Lord, not to waste our time and our talents and our treasures and our testimony, but help us, Lord, to be busy preparing. May we not be asleep when you come back, but may we be ready. And may our prayer always be, Lord Jesus, come as you asked us to. Now, Lord, teach us something new. Open our hearts. Let your word go in our hearts. And Father, we thank you for your presence here today. The celebration of little baby Massimo. We just are grateful for all the good that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. What will the Church of Jesus Christ be doing in the millennium, and how can we prepare for that? How can we prepare for that? All right? I want to talk to you about this. I want to tell you that there are going to be different categories of people. The church is a different category than the Jews is a different category than the people who will not receive Christ. So let's go to number one. The first thing you need to know, because Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to take the church up to heaven. And when we go to heaven, we're going to get new bodies. I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about the Jews. I'm not talking about Americans, Canadians, Mexicans. I'm talking about followers of Jesus Christ in every church. Not everyone in every church will go to heaven. Only those who are followers of Christ. Some people go to church and they play the games. But those who truly let Christ's life come in their heart and change them, those are the ones that are going to go up. And when we go up with Christ, we'll be coming back with Christ. All right? We will have our new bodies when we go up with Christ, like Adam and Eve's before they fell. And when we come back with Christ, we will be controlling the nations with Jesus. He will be the king. We'll be kingdoms of princes and kings and priests. Are you with me so far? We will be controlling the nations with Christ. And let me show you the first verse. This is Jesus speaking to Revelation 2 and 3. He's talking to the churches. And Jesus says to the one church, the Church of Evangelical Christian Church of Waterbury, Connecticut, and this is what Jesus is saying to you, and he who overcomes and keeps my what? What work? The works of the church. Until the end, to him or to her, I will give power over. Isn't that amazing? We will have power. No more Congress. No more governor. We will be the governors. We will be the mayors. And that's what we're going to do when he comes back. And he will ask us to rule and reign in righteousness, not wickedness, not cover-ups, no buyouts, no briberies, none of that. When he comes back, we'll be raptured up, we'll get these new bodies, and when our new bodies will come back with Christ, we will not be tempted with sin. Go to the next scripture, please. It speaks of the rapture when we get our new bodies. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Sleep's another word for die. All right? We're not going to all die, but we shall be what? Changed. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. There's one of the angels, you know, that's going to come down and he's going to blow a trumpet, and every follower of Jesus Christ is going to hear it. We're going to go up, and we're going to get glorified bodies. Well, will we know each other? Yes, we will know each other. All right? If I could pull my spirit out of my body right now, my spirit would look like my body. All right? And my new body will look a lot like this, but it will not have aches and pains. I will not be tempted by sin. No more. Not be tempted. Isn't that great? Some of us will have a little bit more hair. But we're going to know each other even as we are known. And in these glorified bodies, we're going to come back with Christ. Now, Jesus said this, we're not going to be married in heaven. All right? Now, obviously, our spouses may be our best friends in heaven, but we're not, well, put the next scripture up here. Jesus said, for in the resurrection, that's the rapture, speaking of the church, when Jesus comes back and resurrects us, new bodies, neither will we marry nor be given in marriage, but we will be like who? The angels in heaven. So there'll be no marriage, there'll be no reproduction of the church. However, the ones that are not followers of Jesus Christ that are left down here, they will still have their sinful bodies, and they will continue to marry and be married, and they'll continue to reproduce. How many are with me? All right? So we're up in heaven. We're going to be judged by God. He's going to reward us for our works. And these new bodies will be great. We'll do everything Jesus did. Did Jesus go through walls with his new body? We'll go through walls. We can go up to heaven and come back down. We can do that. Some of you are wondering, will we be able to eat? We'll be able to eat. Did not Jesus eat fish? Remember he said, do you have anything to eat? Give me some loaf and fishes. We'll be able to eat. We won't put on weight. Anyone ever seen a fat angel? Well, that's good for me. Some of us, we just struggle a little bit more. But we will have glorified bodies, and it's just going to be wonderful. We'll do and we'll rule and reign. Rule and reign. Now, Janelle, go to Luke 19, please, if you can find Luke 19, verse 12. What will determine our position on this earth when Jesus Christ comes back with the church? You need to know that, because how you're living your life today will determine what position you have in the millennium, in the thousand-year reign. If you do nothing for the church, you do nothing with your time, Roger talked about it, your treasures and your talents, you know what? You're probably not going to get chosen to rule over Hawaii. You might be at the Arctic. Listen to me. Life is a dress rehearsal of the thousand-year reign when Christ comes back and we will rule and reign with him. And I would be a terrible pastor if I didn't tell you how you live life today determines your position in the kingdom of God in the millennium. And I want to encourage you. So we always get off sometimes and we get a little lazy with our time and our talents. But listen, he who does these works to the end will I give power over the nations. So Jesus tells his disciples, who are the 12 apostles of the church, and this is for us. We're either one of these three servants. And the good news is, even if we're not the servant we'd like to be, as long as we have breath, we can change. Jesus said, this is a parable. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman, which is Jesus Christ, went into a far country, heaven, to receive for himself a kingdom and to what? He's coming back. Keep going. So he called 10 of his servants from Evangelical Christian Church of Waterbury, and he delivered to them 10 minas. He gave you 10 treasures, 10 talents, 10 times, 10 testimonies. He gave you everything you need to reach people for the church of Jesus Christ. And he told you, do business until I come. All right? But some of his citizens hated him. And they sent a delegation after him and saying, we will not have this man reign over us. These are people, they don't receive Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. They live their own life. And we will not have him reign over us. So that's one category of people. Verse 15. So it was that when he returned, second coming, having received the kingdom, millennium, he commanded that you, the church of Jesus Christ, his servants, to whom he had given money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. What did you do with the life that I gave you? All right, next verse, please. In verse 16, then the first servant came, saying, Master Jesus, your mina has earned 10 minas. I used your time, your treasures, your talent, I used something good for your church. And Jesus said to him, say it with me, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. You see how it's determined? The second servant, believer, follower of Jesus Christ, he came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. All right? Likewise, Jesus said to them, you also be over 5 cities. All right? No socialism, no communism. All right? Not everybody gets the same reward. Everyone is rewarded for what they do down here for Christ. Make sense? We're Americans. We like that. We like the Judeo-Christian work ethic. You know, you get what you work for. Then another came. This one was in the Church of Jesus Christ, saying to him, Jesus, Master, here's your mina. I have kept and put it in a handkerchief. I didn't use my time, my treasures. I never give any of my gifts to the church. And I didn't tell anyone to come to church, invited nobody. I'm too busy. And he says, for I feared you. Did he know Jesus? You shouldn't have to fear Jesus if you really know him. So he didn't know him. He played the games. I feared you because you, Jesus, you're an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit. Is that true? So this guy's deceived, isn't he? And you reap what you did not sow. Is that true? That's not true of Jesus. This guy's totally out there. You know what he does? He puts his opinion above this. And a real follower of Jesus Christ puts this above his opinions. God help us. And Jesus said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you. For you are what? You're a wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, huh? You think I'm mean? You think I'm terrible? Okay, I'll judge you the way you think I am. Collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow, verse 23. Why then did you not put my money at least in the bank? That, at my coming, I might have at least collected what?
Interest.
A little interest. You could have done something for the church. Just something. And he said, this is Jesus, said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. That's not fair! Be careful how you judge Jesus. He knows what he's doing. And they said to him, that's not fair! Master, he already has 10 minas. Jesus said, for I say to you that to everyone who has will be given. And from him who does not have, or is not using what he has, even what he has will be taken away from him. One more. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me in their lives to reign over them and slay them before me. Isn't that powerful? That's the secret of the millennium, the 1,000 years. You have the power to set yourself up for your future by how you treat the Church of Jesus Christ. You treat it with your time and treasures and talents and death, but you treat it with contempt. Jesus says, I will treat you with contempt. But if you go out and tell, see, there's a world out there that's hurting, that needs your love, that needs your encouragement, that needs your counsel, then the Lord says, you know what? When I come back, I'm going to use you on this earth. I'm going to use you in governments. And so it's so important that we understand, be faithful with the things you have. You say, well, I don't have much money. Like Roger said, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It matters how much money has you. It doesn't matter how much time you have. How much time has you? When you say, I'm just too busy, I'm just too busy. You probably are. What are you doing for Jesus' church today? Because our judgment in heaven, which you don't need to be afraid of, I'm looking forward to being, the judgment's going to be a good judgment. You're going to be rewarded for what you did for other people for good. That's what you need to know. And that's how much your pastor loves you. And I'm speaking the truth to you. You can set yourself up for success when Christ comes back. And set yourself up. Live a pure life. Live a holy life. Be an encourager. Love those who don't love you. Pray for those. Invite people to church. Be the Jesus that people don't know. Some people around your neighborhood may never read this, but they're reading you. They're reading you. What are they reading? What are they reading? There's a principle I've taught my children, and it took me a long time to get it through to them, but they have it. It's called play now, pay later. Pay now, play later. That's the principle. I taught my kids that. I said, listen, when you're young, young people are foolish. They want to play, 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 and they don't want to pay, pay, pay. And they said, what does that mean? I said, when you're in school or you go learn a trade, pay the price. It's not a time to go drink and party and have a good time. It's a time to go get straight A's. It's a time to work. It's a time to get 2 jobs, 3 jobs. Ecclesiastes says it's good for a young man to bear a load on his shoulder. I mean, we older guys, we can't bear a heavy load. But young guys, the Bible says it's good to bear it when you're young because there's coming a time that you're not going to be able to do it. So you pay the price now. I told my kids when they go to university, don't believe those kids. I can't work in school. I got to get grades. I said, you're in school to get a job. Why would you not work in school? You're working to get a job. And so my kids listen to me. They work jobs. They work 2 and 3 jobs. They're in the pizza. How many kids are in the pizza business? Thank God for pizzas. Get those discounts on all that good pizzas. And so my kids worked hard, and they kept their debt down, and they worked not to take. They paid now so they could play later. Now, let me tell you, to the glory of God, my kids both graduated with bachelor's debt-free because they paid the price so that they can play. Now one has 2 homes, and the other one, you know, makes so much money as a software engineer, works for Facebook. It's amazing, but they listened. What are you saying, Pastor? What are you saying? I'm telling you, as followers of Jesus Christ, pay now so you can play when Jesus comes back. If you're playing now, when Christ comes back, you might be paying. Pay now. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. It doesn't mean that at all. But what you know needs to be done, do it. Do it. And then reward yourself for that later. Amen. The Bible says we are to occupy until Christ comes. Number 2, let's go to the second point. Not only will the church be controlling the nations with Jesus Christ, you might like this one best, but the corruption in the world crushed. The corruption in the world will be crushed. We know there's corruption in politics. Do you ever get sick and tired of Russia blaming the U.S. and the U.S. blaming Russia and China blaming the U.S. and the U.S. blaming China? And makes me wonder sometimes if we're wrong sometimes and we're right sometimes. You don't know. There's so much corruption. You know, I'm a little disappointed growing up as an athlete. It grieves me to see corruption now coming into sports, the sports world. And of course, I don't need to tell you about, you know, business worlds on how some businesses hide stuff and it's just phony. And then, of course, I can't forget the media and the corruption that is there. I read an article while I was away out west there. I got an article called "Why Americans Have Good Reason Not to Trust the Media," written by Dr. Michael Brown in July 12, 21. It says, according to a recent survey conducted by Rasmussen, if I say it right, reports, 58% of U.S. voters at least somewhat agree that the media is truly the enemy of the people of the United States. It's because of the corruption. And 34% strongly agree. Numbers would indicate that there's such a distrust between both the left-wing media and the right-wing media. Not everyone on the right is telling the truth. Not everyone on the left is telling the truth. In a deeper analysis, John Nolte pointed out that a whopping 76% of Republicans know the media is our enemy, while 37% of Democrats believe the media is our enemy. What does that say about the corruption in our own country? Well, as much as you criticize it, I hope you pray as well. It'd be better just to pray. And this survey was conducted on July 7th and 8th. Why are Republicans and Democrats and the rest upset? Because of the vast differences of all the reporting of COVID-19 mass vaccinations, the CDC, the World Health Organization, and the origins. Did you notice how we've come 180 degrees with all these reports? When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to crush the corruption. He's going to crush. Sometimes you watch a little bit too much TV and you get depressed and you get upset. Let me tell you something. He's coming back and he's going to enforce righteousness with us, the church. The church is going to enforce righteousness. Now remember, when we come back with him, we have our glorified bodies. We're not going to be tempted. You are not going to have to fear anything if you go up. You have a relationship and you are let the life of Christ come in and change your heart. You're good. Now, we still may be here a little bit longer and go through some uncomfortable things, but that's where you have to trust Jesus. And when we are with Jesus, 1,000 years, new bodies, We will be ministering like Jesus. Do you know the Bible says Jesus didn't need anyone to tell him what was in men's heart, for he knew what was in men's hearts. And so when we're here, we're going to be like his deputies and his marshals and his police and mayors and governors. And it'll be a peer pressure to do right, righteousness, not wrong. And we will enforce it. You got to follow me. So you're in San Diego as a mayor of San Diego, delegated authority by Christ, and you see someone thinking of stealing someone's purse. You know their thought. Pow! I know what you're thinking, buddy. Off the jail. You laugh, but that's the way it's going to be. 1,000 years. 1,000. Satan will be thrown into the bottomless pit. No crime. Some of you say, I never heard this. Read the book. Read the book. What Christ is going to do. And not only are we going to enforce righteousness, we will do it with a rod that will dash evil to pieces. We will not be governing with a rod of hypocrisy. Next verse, please. You need to know your Jesus here. The first time he came as a lamb, the second time he's coming as a lion. And he who overcomes, this is to the church in Revelation, remember Revelation 2 or 3 of the seven churches, to you who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and you shall rule them with a what? Not hypocrisy, not lies, and they shall be... Whew. Whatever happened to gentle Jesus, meek and mild? Not when he comes back. All the evil that the devil has done through people is going to be corrected. And I want you on the right side. On the right side. And I don't know if you've ever had a crime done to you. I don't know if you ever been ripped off before and how angry you got. And just maybe someone broke in, stole something in your house. It's just... Oh my gosh, where is the justice? Lord, let there be, it's coming. It's coming when Christ comes back and we'll be ruling and reigning with him. Now there are people that don't go up in the tribulation. They don't go up in the rapture. They're going to go through a 7-year tribulation. People who reject Jesus Christ will be left down here. And when we come back with Christ, some of them will go into the 1,000-year reigns. They will have their normal bodies. They'll have their normal bodies, but they'll be doing things forced to do right things, not necessarily from their heart. You see, the difference between Christians and every other religion is that Christianity changes the heart. Jesus changed the heart. He died, was buried, and he rose again to change the heart. And if you see someone in religion and their heart's not changed, it's because they don't understand the life of Christ. It changes someone from the inside out. Next scripture, please. Blessed and holy is the one. That's the church. That's you. Who has part in the what? That's the rapture. That's the new body. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him what? We will reign 1,000 years. That's the millennium. That's what I want to set you up for. My job to tell you the truth. And you don't have to believe me. And after the 1,000 years, Satan will be released. He'll have one more rebellion against God, and then God will destroy and throw him in the lake of fire. And then God will destroy the earth. He'll destroy the heavens and the earth, and he'll create a new heavens and the new earth with no sin. No sin. But until that comes, we still have sin. We still have sin in our lives that separates us from God. That's why we need Jesus as a Savior. But how many know that's an exciting future? I want to be a part of that. I don't know what servant you can identify with, but let me tell you something. You may be doing a lot for the church. God bless you. You may take your treasures in time and talents and kindness and hospitality and your ability to invite people to church and introduce people to Christ, and you may multiply that tenfold. God bless you. And maybe you don't do that. Maybe you can only do it fivefold like the other servant. That's okay. But don't be like the one that buries it. Because the one who buried it didn't do anything for Christ because really they didn't know him. They came, they pretended. They may have fooled you. They may have fooled me. But how many know you can't fool him? You can't fool him. But you say, well, there's just so many hypocrites in the church. Well, what a better place to have them. At least you get a chance to get your life right. Maybe there's someone here today and you've never asked Christ to come into your life. You've never asked him to change your heart. The Bible says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. When you're really sincere. And let me tell you something. Christianity, the A to Z and everything in between is one thing, that Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10 says that. And he seek and he sought me when I was lost. I was living my own life and I was miserable, but I didn't let anyone know it. But I gave my life to Christ and I said, Lord, please change my life. You know what? And he came in and he began a slow work in me. I wish I could tell you, overnight, I was immediate. No, it took time. It's like a seed that dies and it grows, and little by little it comes up and it sprouts, and then it comes up and then there's a leaf, and that's what Christianity is. It's really about life. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. There's another scripture in Isaiah that says, all of we are like sheep. We've gone our own way. We've turned everyone his own way. We turn away from God. We turn away from Christ. But it's a miserable existence. Only when you ask Christ to come in your life and you begin to get to know him, you begin to pray, like I was sharing with Massimo and Sarah Marie, begin to pray to God. Begin to read the Bible. You get to know him. You realize he is not the author of all the chaos going on in the world. He's a good God. And I want you to have that right view. I'm going to ask you just to stand with me. Would you please? Would you all just stand? And there's not a better day to maybe begin a new life with Christ than today. And I'm just going to close in a word of prayer in just a second. But maybe there's a young father, a mother, or a son, and you've been listening to me, and you say, I don't know Christ. I don't have this life. And I would like to know that life. And would you pray for me, Pastor Paul, as you close? I would like to know the life. Maybe there's someone here today, and would you just raise your hand and say, would you remember me in prayer? I don't know Christ. I want to be a part of that future. Don't be ashamed. Just shoot it up there. I'm not going to embarrass you. But there's going to come a time where you're going to stand before Christ and you're going to have to say, I am glad I chose you and I live for you. I live for you. I spoke the truth today. And sometimes I like to give an opportunity just to give people, you know, the first step is a prayer of asking God to come in your heart. The second step is water baptism, where you go public. But maybe you're not sure you're saved, and you say, yeah, I'd just like to be sure. Would you just keep me in prayer? Put your hand up so I can see it. Yep, don't be ashamed. Just put your hand up. And remember, the first step is just praying. And then you start to pray, and you say, God, show yourself to me. You begin to pray, and you get a Bible. I'll get you a Bible. And then you keep coming to church. Let me tell you something. You'll have no regrets. And you know when it really happens, when someone will come up to you and say, something's different about you. What'd you do, cut your hair or something? What's that? It's when it's the life of Christ. Amen. A few people put their hands up. So I want you, if you would with me, I'd like you to all pray this prayer together as we start a new step, all right? Just bow your heads and just say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Jesus, forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Show me your life. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Now,